right. You're giving me agita here. Good evening, everybody. Raw just went off the air. Dolph Ziggler, what are you doing? Why is Dolph there? Is he mad at Theory? Is Theory making a mockery of the briefcase? Is that why Dolph Ziggler is a little bit pissed off? I have no idea. But, a little change of pace. Kind of worried now what happens to Robert Roode going forward. But we'll talk about that and a few other things tonight. This is your WWE Raw post show. I am Don Tony. As always, I want to thank you all for joining me. A little bit later in the program for the watch parties that went down on Friday, we are giving away this Undertaker package of somebody. Somebody gets a signed photo and they get that wall taker that we kind of like played around with many, many months ago. That's like a 3D picture. You put batteries in it and it talks. The thing that makes me laugh the most about this, look at the top of the box and how they advertised it. It's the 3D picture that tells you where to get off. I'm still trying to figure out 24 years later, what the hell does that mean? Does it tell us where to get off on the bus? Does it tell us where to get off in a different way? I honestly, for the life of me, still can't figure out why that phrase is there. So we got to talk a little bit about John Laurinaitis. He had his hands in the cookie jar as well. You know, the interesting thing about it is, you know, the sexual relationship with Vince McMahon and the paralegal from a couple of years ago, somebody very creative in the journalistic world said that that she was passed over to John Laurinaitis like a toy. If it's consensual, what does that even mean? And I'll tell you something else that's really interesting about that. We'll talk about it later. Chris Jericho had some comments about this situation. And out of everybody who has commented about this matter so far, I think Chris Jericho has nailed it better than anyone else. Couple of people from the Wall Street Journal were on Busted Open Radio today. And they're kind of frustrated. You could hear it in their voice, and they pretty much said it. They're surprised that this latest revelation has not gotten more traction. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Also, a funny little story that happened earlier today. We'll talk about that a little bit later. If anybody remembers Captain Lenny from the old Hotline days, I had an interaction with someone earlier today that reminded me of Captain Lenny, and it's caught on video. We won't show it until Saturday. Oh, programming note, Saturday. We talked about the return. Oh, see, I kind of spoiled it. We'll explain that picture later. I hit that by accident. But I teased the return, the possible return of Breakfast with Blasi, doing a Saturday morning show, and we're going to start doing it every other week to start off. 1 week will be Saturday morning start time. The following week will be Saturday night. We'll go back and forth. We'll see which one people enjoy more. I will tell you, the response about doing a Saturday morning show has been tremendous. So this Saturday, I will be doing the Don Tony Show live at 10 a.m. Eastern. I have an engagement party to go to Saturday night, so it really works out. I think some people misunderstood. It's not my engagement party. I'm getting married in 2 months. You do engagement parties a year before you get married. I got to go for somebody else Saturday night. So, all right. So we got Raw to get into, a couple other tidbits. Let's talk about Raw right off the bat. I honestly enjoyed this show. Yeah, there was definitely some filler involved, no question. But overall, I thought it did a good job. I mean, obviously, the setup, Brock Lesnar, you know, we all have a good idea what the outcome is going to be in the match between him and Roman Reigns. It would shock the shit out of me if Brock Lesnar were to regain those championships. Announcing a special guest referee for the Usos and the Street Profits is going to be really interesting. And I know a few of you have asked already, who do I think the special guest referee is? And I'm going to give you a couple of quick thoughts a little bit later. But I want to open up with this because, look, I know people want Bray Wyatt to return. Of course I do. I loved the Bray Wyatt character. You know, I'm a big fan of Wyndham in whatever form he is in. But, you know, we knew. I mean, we figured it out the night the first Cryptic video aired that this was to tease the return of Edge. Everybody and their mother knows it's the return of Edge. I don't know why I watched, you know, pretty established podcasts out there and websites today still trying to tease that it could be Bray Wyatt. I mean, and you got people saying like, oh my God, he's back, he's back. No, 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 he's not back. We just think, hey, it could be. You know, those are people deliberately trying to swerve people just to get attention to their pages, which is kind of cheap. But as we talked about Saturday and Sunday, we said WWE was going to air a new Cryptic video tonight, hyping the return of Edge. I had it in the preview for tonight's show on YouTube for the last couple of days. Tonight, we got that second Cryptic video that we were talking about. And this time around, all right, yeah, that kind of looks like Edge right before he goes through the curtain. But still, hey, it could be anybody else. Could be anybody else. But then they showed Cena's hat. Then they showed a vest that Mick Foley used to wear. If you remember the WrestleMania match, the tag team match, where he went through a flaming table, that is Cactus's flannel vest on fire. And then, if that wasn't enough, you got Randy Orton, RKO, rated RKO. Now, guys, gals, can we finally admit that this is the return of Edge? There is no question. No question whatsoever. This is the return of Edge. The big question now is, does he return at SummerSlam? And something else I want you all to think about. Where does Edge go from here? Because remember, Edge wants to get a little bit of revenge on Judgment Day. No question. Tonight on Raw, you know, they're kind of teasing us that Dominic Mysterio could possibly join the Judgment Day. You know, and they're basically, first of all, I thought Finn Balor was funny because Finn Balor, you know, he spells father, F-O-D-D-E-R. He's like, Ray, you're a bad fada. Fada. Almost sound like fodder. Fada. F-O-D-D-E-R. Look, people make fun of my New York accent. I could poke a little fun at Finn Balor's accent. But rise with the Judgment Day, Dominic, or fall beside your father. And Finn Balor, Rey Mysterio, had a phenomenal match. Some people call it a dream match. I don't think Rey Mysterio and Finn Balor ever fought each other before. Finn Balor getting the win with the coup de grace, and after the match is over, the Judgment Day is staring down Dominic. Now, with all due respect, why would the Judgment Day want Dominic? I wouldn't want Dominic. I mean, the only reason why I would want Dominic is to troll Rey Mysterio, to try to stick the dagger in the heart of Rey Mysterio. Here's the problem with all of this. Edge is going to be returning soon. Edge obviously has got to get revenge on the Judgment Day. Edge has got to come out on top in some shape or form, because the last time we saw him, he had the rod in the mouth, and Judgment Day totally destroyed him. If he comes back and loses again, you know, that kind of ruins all the momentum with Edge. So now it feels like Edge may have to align himself with Rey Mysterio for a little while. And then if Dominic joins, it's kind of like a mess, if you really think about it. So we got to see what happens with that. But Dominic Mysterio and Judgment Day, I don't know. I don't know. I close my eyes and I picture him wearing all black and his hair pasted back. You know, even if that were to happen, it's more like a Mysterio storyline than Dominic. And you think of all the people who a lot of you out there fantasize that would be a perfect fit of Judgment Day. Would Dominic be in your top 20? Seriously. Wouldn't even be in my top 50, probably. So I don't know about that. But I will say this. I'm kind of laughing at all the people out there that told you and told me that Edge was kicked out of Judgment Day because they wanted to go supernatural. Tell me what has been supernatural so far. Finn Balor wearing pants? Where the fuck is the supernatural? So just to show you how stupid that was when it came out. Edge has so much pull in that goddamn company that if Edge didn't want to do supernatural, he wouldn't do supernatural. They're not going to kick him out of the fucking group because of it. So pretty stupid. But, you know, we'll see where it goes. We'll see where it goes. But, you know, I'm not looking forward to seeing Dominic Mysterio in Judgment Day. And I'm not sure if it'll actually happen. So opening Raw tonight, we have Brock Lesnar and gets a great reaction from the fans. He comes out. He's wearing his flannel. He's wearing his cowboy hat. The fans gave him such a great reaction. Brock shows his manners, puts the hat on the ring post, takes off his hat with the fans, because that's what you do, you know, especially cowboys. You're wearing a cowboy hat? No, I don't have a cowboy hat. And even if I did, I probably would not wear it live on this show. But you're like, howdy, you know, or back in the day, ma'am. So he takes off the hat. He says Roman has been living the high life since WrestleMania. He said there's an old saying in Texas, pigs get fat, but hogs get slaughtered. He calls Roman Reigns a hog. And look, some of the reaction was mixed because not everybody, you know, pops at someone admitting that they slaughter pigs or hogs on their ranch every single day. But that's what Brock does. He slaughters hogs every single day. And at SummerSlam, the tribal hog is going to get a country ass kicking. Paul Heyman comes out. He cuts a promo on Brock. No Roman Reigns tonight. We knew that. Roman is going to pull a heart out of Brock's ass. Theory comes out, and as we told you over the weekend, he was going to troll Brock Lesnar a little bit, teasing about cashing in the briefcase, as we talked about even yesterday. No reason to have Theory cash in the briefcase this soon. You know, he's just an annoying gnat that you want to keep around doing that for months ahead. But comes out, trolls Brock Lesnar a little bit. Then we get really random. I mean, it's fun, especially with the feat of strength. And even a little botch I had no problem with. Alpha Academy shows up at ringside. You got Chad Gable on one side of the ring. You got Otis on the other. Unfortunately, there's two other sides of the ring where there's nobody. So Brock could do whatever the fuck he wants. They're teasing like they're going to double team Brock. Big mistake. Brock destroys Chad Gable. Ring steps, chairs, destroys Otis. Pretty stiff shots as well. And then Brock, he attempted to do an F5 on Otis through the announcer's table. It looked more of like an attitude adjustment. But, you know, I saw some people laughing on social media. I'm like, nah, I'm not laughing. He picked up Otis like it was nothing. He picked up Otis like Otis was a toy. And he just dumped Otis through the table. Very, very powerful segment. You know, went long, but, you know, look, you know, WWE, I saw people like ripping the shit out of WWE Friday because I think they had 13 or 18 minutes of wrestling in the 2 hours. And I'm saying to myself, they have done that countless times over decades. Why is it a surprise anymore? And if WWE's that awful to you, then why the fuck are you tuning in? People want to be entertained. They don't need a 20-minute five-star match. They don't need an 18-minute four-star match. Sometimes you just have Brock come out there, somebody you want to see cut a promo, beat a couple of people up, arrive, wreck, leave. I know that's a catchphrase for another shirt, but opening segment, why wouldn't you not be entertained by that? That's why when people were complaining when Brock returned, I get it. Not everybody wants to see Roman and Brock once again. We were so emotionally invested at the biggest WrestleMania match in history. You know, you put so much emotion in that. It's like, okay, chapter closed, move on. So now having it happen one final time, you know, I understand why some people balk at it, but the people that were just like, oh, Brock's back, same old shit. I'm like, are you kidding me? Brock has been one of the top entertainers for WWE in the last bunch of years. Cowboy, you know, smiling Brock. Hey, this arguably may be my favorite version of Brock as an entire WWE career. So I enjoyed the beginning segment. Now we get Becky Lynch. She comes out. And look, I don't want to get too much into this, but I knew exactly what I was doing when I went on Twitter to talk about it. Could someone do me a favor in the live chat? Could you go to my Twitter for a second, at DonTonyD, and let me know the exact record that I posted about Becky Lynch in the last bunch of matches? Because I want to bring this up now. I'm a big fan of Becky Lynch. We give a lot of Becky Lynch signed photos over here, you know, but even if we didn't, you know, I'm a big fan of Becky Lynch. I like her passion, her work. She's entertaining. When she's annoying, she's doing a job. A lot of people don't realize that. But I appreciate Becky Lynch's hard work ethic. What I love about Becky Lynch also, thank you, Ox King, thank you. You know, I wanted to just tweet a little appreciation for Becky Lynch. That's all I wanted to do. Because now they're going to try to start building her rise back to the top. And I went and I checked some of her stats pretty much since WrestleMania time. And since then, in the last 32 matches she's had, she's 5-27. 5-27. So I went on social media and I tweeted something and I said, you know, just, you know, hard worker, consummate professional, trying to elevate others, you know, doesn't bitch, doesn't complain. But before I actually submitted, I said, oh, here we go. I can't wait for all the Sasha bankheads that are going to start going nuts and saying, oh, you're throwing shots at Sasha and Naomi. So I actually had to write the disclaimer. This is not about anybody past or present in WWE. And this is not about anybody that is not in WWE. All this is appreciation for Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch doesn't bitch, doesn't complain, does her job, lost 27 out of 32 matches. And all I wanted to do is show appreciation. Most of you out there, you know, respected that. Some of you were honest and saying, look, I'm not a fan of Becky Lynch. I totally respect each and every one of you about that. I'm not trying to, no way am I trying to convince anyone to be a Becky Lynch fan. I'm just showing appreciation. But you have some of the Sasha Banks whack jobs, and I'm a fan of Sasha Banks too. I defended Sasha Banks with a lot of what went down. But still, that wasn't enough. Oh, you're taking shots at her. Fucking goof. Are you fucking brain dead? Are you a vegetable? Is just something mentally wrong in your head? I just fucking had to write a disclaimer for the goofs out there. No, we're not taking shots at Sasha. Then the best part, some goof says to me, DT, you're actually bringing up house show records? You bring up house show records? This moron, at every other sentence to defend AEW, will bring up stats from Dark and Elevation, and we're supposed to factor that in, but we can't factor in Becky Lynch on house shows. And then someone else trying to challenge me on that, I'm like, wait a minute. Every time Becky Lynch loses at a house show, she does for social media a promo. She's having a meltdown. She's losing it. if you're only going to look at Becky Lynch's pay-per-view record, and you say to me, well, DT, she's 12-4 on pay-per-view in the last 16 pay-per-views, then what the fuck is she having a meltdown for? Then what the hell are all the vignettes and all the promos on Raw, on pay-per-view, on house shows, on social media, where she is losing it? Her hair is all fucked up. She looks like she hasn't slept in 3 weeks. Sometimes she looks like she hasn't showered. This is the overall. This is her caring that much. They're proving my point for me. You could turn around and just say, oh, it's just house shows. No big deal. She's fucking all in. And I can't help but to appreciate that a little bit more. But man, did I trigger some people online just showing appreciation. Man, do they have a guilty conscience about Sasha Banks. What a guilty fucking conscience. So Becky Lynch comes out. She talks about Liv Morgan winning Money in the Bank. She says it's like Liv won the lottery. I don't need to win the lottery. I come to work and I work my ass off to earn my paycheck. You want to say she threw shots? Say what you want. But that is a fact. She works her ass off. She complains about Carmella getting a rematch. She should have got one the night after she lost her title at WrestleMania. She wants a title shot at SummerSlam. She stays at ringside. Carmella beats Bianca Belair tonight by countout. No title change. Bianca a little bit distracted by Becky Lynch. And yeah, this will probably lead up to them having a match at SummerSlam. I'm fine with it. Absolutely fine with it. I just don't know, how do you keep Becky's momentum if she loses at SummerSlam? You imagine if she beats Bianca at SummerSlam in 12 seconds? I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I guarantee you that's got to be creeping in some people's minds out there. Think about it. All right. Miz TV with Ciampa. Ciampa. We finally hear Ciampa. Why are you doing what you're doing all these months? Mustafa Ali, everyone else. I want all the eyes of the world on Ciampa. Miz kind of reiterates what happened with Logan Paul. We see a new video from Logan Paul. Miz, get it through your head. I don't want to team up with you. At SummerSlam, I want to beat the shit out of you. Didn't say it like that, but that's pretty much what Logan Paul said. So Miz, doing Miz TV with Ciampa, says, you know, this is your last chance, Logan. Team up with me and we'll be tag team champions. Otherwise, I have to look elsewhere. And guess what? I don't have to look very far. And he looks at Ciampa. Tim Keel, happy 10-month anniversary. He says the expression with The Undertaker tells you where to get off is like saying go to hell. All right. I could take that as an explanation. I mean, in my lifetime, if I ever said to someone, why don't you go get off? I guarantee you they would have interpreted that, why don't you go in a corner and jerk off? Seriously. Maybe my neck of the woods, like, why don't you go get off? You know, trust me, you go to a club back in the day and you try to pick up a chick and the chick wants nothing to do with you, she'll say to you, why don't you go in the corner and get off? I don't think she means go to hell. Because if you look, if you want to tell someone go to hell, why do you have to use different words? Why don't you just say, hey, Tim, go to hell? Not, you don't mean that, but seriously, why wouldn't you just say to someone, go to hell? When you got to use different words, that means you're just a pushy and you're afraid to say it.
You know, I don't like you very much. You know, why don't you find a place and go get off?
Why don't you just say, go to hell? Giving me agita. Giving me agita. By the way, you want to know who gave me agita tonight? All these fucking websites that were showing this. Did you see this earlier? No, that's not somebody peeing in a corner. It still looks like somebody peeing in a corner. Kind of looks like there's urine on the floor as well. Can I zoom in on this? Sometimes my Zoom doesn't work when they're live. Yeah, we can. All right. Yeah, we could zoom in a little bit. Oh, that evil fucking WWE. They confiscated all the fan signs tonight at Raw. They confiscated all the fan signs. Oh, I remember back in the day in 1998. You weren't even fucking alive, you goof, from Virginia that said that. I looked at your profile. You just graduated high school two weeks ago, whatever it was. Oh, back in 1998, your mom was probably whacking off to Steve Austin and The Rock, if you smell where I'm going, goof. Here's the truth, everybody. If you read that stupid article that WWE was confiscating signs, they were at the AT&T Center tonight in San Antonio, Texas. AT&T Center has a very strict policy about flags, banners, signs, and their guideline is this. Listen closely. Spectators are not permitted to use wave flags, banners, signs, or other items that are affixed to any pole or stick made of wood, metal, plastic, or other hard material, and that is more than 11 by 17 inches in size. Teams and artists are also prohibited from giving out to fans by sale or giveaway. Then it says, signs may not be displayed during play at a sporting event, be placed on a court, or affixed to a building structure. All right. AT&T Center is very, very strict about signs. If you looked closely today, you saw people with signs. And no, they didn't hide them under their bra or in their pants. Problem is, the signs were about this big. And when you're in section 450, and you're like, bro, you kind of need like a giant magnifying glass to read it anyway. But that's why signs were taken away. That is why. The rules are the rules. You know, I don't like the rules. I love when people bring signs, especially the green neon ones that say Don Tony. No, but seriously, that's why the signs were taken away. But of course you're not going to read that because that's not sexy. You'll see people out there focusing on that evil WWE. We call WWE evil when deserving. But you got to call it like it is sometimes. That was the AT&T Center doing that shit tonight. That wasn't WWE doing that. So, all right. Getting back to the recap. You know what I thought was stupid today? After Miz cut his whole annoying promo, and I'm a big fan of Miz. So when I say annoying, he's doing his job. Miz cuts this whole annoying promo. And then AJ Styles comes out. He tells Miz to shut his mouth. Hey, AJ, what the fuck you let Miz talk for 5 minutes before you tell him to shut your mouth? You know, I'm just saying in storyline. That's like what we were joking about Wednesday about Jon Moxley. When Jon Moxley cut the promo about all the detractors and the haters that think that Brody King is going to beat him for the title. I'm like, what the fuck is saying that? I did a Twitter search. I couldn't find one moron to say that. You know, it sounds good. But when you actually think about it, like, it makes no sense. AJ telling Miz to shut up. Yeah, he already said everything that he said. Goof. So AJ says, you know, he thinks Miz is using Ciampa to do his dirty work. And if he's doing that, he thinks Miz's actions are, AJ, shut up. AJ tries to finish the sentence again. Let me finish. I think your actions are, shut up. So we think AJ is going to say tiny balls. You got no balls. So Miz lets AJ finish the sentence. And AJ says, your actions is like someone who is a coward. What a tiny set of balls. So tiny balls, tiny balls. Yes, WWE has a shirt out. Hello, I am. You remember the shirt? Hello, I am the Miz and I'm awesome. Now they have a shirt with the name tag that says I have giant balls. Eddie K, shout out to you, my friend. He says that I will be seeing Don Tony signs on the August 3rd Dynamite. Fucking sweet, man. Beautiful. I thank you as always, man. Love it. Love it. Appreciate it more than you can imagine. Thank you. So as AJ is throwing a little dirt to Miz, we think we're getting a handicap match, Miz and Ciampa versus AJ. Here comes Ezekiel, and Ezekiel wants to get involved for some reason. Okay, fine. What ends up happening, now I'm thinking, okay, Zeke is going to eat the pin. But no, we get a pretty damn good match, showcasing Ciampa a little bit. You know, the fans a little bit under this, you know, getting Ciampa getting under the skin of the fans, which is what they need to do, especially if Ciampa and Miz are going to take on AJ and Logan Paul at SummerSlam. But what we end up happening is AJ hits the calf crusher on the Miz, and it was an awful finish. I mean, I love Ref Aja. You know, I know she changed the name. I love her work. She is just a nice person, outstanding, doesn't stand out, doesn't try to be extra anime. And no, this is not a shot on Aubrey Edwards. As I have said many times before, even though some of Aubrey's stuff is a little too goofy for my standards, AEW welcomes it, likes it, wants more of it. That's why you see it. So you can't always fault Aubrey Edwards when it's AEW that is like, no, man, do it. Do it even more. You know, that's why she does it. But she, tonight, the referee, she, when Ciampa hits the ring to break up the calf crusher, he's not even in the ring 5 seconds. He starts wailing on AJ, and we get a disqualification. He, you know, this was a tag match, and even though he's in the ring when he's not supposed to, you know, you look at just regular tag team matches, that was ridiculous. It was stupid. It was too quick. What Ciampa should have done was put a submission move on AJ, and then the referee should have counted to five, break it. Ciampa refuses to break it. Then you call for the bell. But she called it too quickly, and it looked awful. AJ dives onto Ciampa outside the ring after the match. Miz runs up the aisle, scared shit. You know, and it was what it was. I thought that was not the greatest finish. Riddle and Lashley are teaming up tonight. This is your main event later on. They're going to team up to take on Theory and Seth Rollins. As we talked about last week, Riddle versus Rollins is a heavily rumored match for SummerSlam. Rollins' promo right before the main event tonight focused mostly on Riddle, and that may be where they're going with this. And guess what? I think Riddle versus Rollins would be phenomenal at SummerSlam. But earlier, Riddle and Lashley are in the back. Riddle wants to watch Stranger Things with Lashley. And by the way, did you take a shot every time they said, remember the Alamo tonight? Take a shot. Every time they said, remember the Alamo, I guarantee you would have been buzzed a little bit. Definitely would have been buzzed. Asuka and Alexa Bliss beating Doudrop and Nikki Ash. Not much there. You know, I don't know what you do with Doudrop and Nikki Ash at this point. I mean, obviously some people have to be enhancement, but Doudrop, in my opinion, is so much better than that. Nikki Ash is really talented as well. You know, of course somebody has to take that role. It's a shame that it has to be them. It really is. But when you really take a step back, you know, who are you going to use? Dana Brooke? You know, and then who? You could have Dana Brooke and Carmella. Zelina is injured, you know, and I don't want to see, you know, that either. Not very good tonight. Not very good. We get some goofiness. Shout out to Zylot Themes. Let me take this off the screen for a minute. Yeah, that's R-Truth, who is a tag team counselor. What happens is that the Usos come out, cut a promo, talking about the Street Profits. Wah, wah, wah. Crying. You see Omos in the corner, too. I'll explain all of it. Usos are making fun of the Street Profits. Street Profits come out, cut a promo on the Usos. R-Truth comes out. He says that he has many certifications, divorce counselor, marriage counselor, referee, other things, but his best one is a certified tag team counselor. He's trying to calm things down. The Usos are calling him a clown ass. And here comes Omos. Omos with MVP. You know, they want to have a six-man tag match tonight. Who the Usos going to team up with? So Omos lays out R-Truth. We go to commercial. We come back. Six-man tag. But what's very interesting is, no, we didn't get Omos pinning R-Truth. We got Omos pinning Angelo Dawkins. And Angelo Dawkins, you know, look, man, I said it the night of Money in the Bank. I said it last week as well. And I loved Angelo Dawkins venting a little bit over the weekend. Told him, look, I'm not, you know, second anything. You know, Dawkins has really, really stood out and really, really shutting people up. And then they have him get pinned by Omos. So I don't know, you know, why wouldn't you just have R-Truth get pinned? Kind of, you know, I mean, I understand to build up to the SummerSlam, but, you know, I was kind of like confused by that tonight. You know, if anything, Omos should have pinned R-Truth. Brian Becerra, shout out to you. Thank you for the super chat, my friend. Brian was at Raw tonight. He was there with his sister. Be nice if I take this off. He was at Raw with his sister, had a great time. Well, you must live like really close. I know you live in that area. That's awesome to be able to get out of there, get home. But then again, you might be on your phone, in your car, on the train, on a bus. So props. Glad you enjoyed it. From home, I thought tonight's Raw was decent. I mean, it had its moments that, you know, you roll your eyes, but when is there a Raw where you don't have some stuff where you roll your eyes? So Omos pins Dawkins, but we find out we're getting a special guest referee to ref the match between the Usos and the Street Profits. I will give you my quick thoughts in a couple of moments as to who it could legitimately be. I've seen so many guesses tonight already, but there's one thing that a lot of people are forgetting about this match, and we'll get into that a little bit, because we're pretty much already coming up to the main event. Seth Rollins cuts a promo on Lashley and Riddle, focusing mostly on Riddle. You know, it was cool to see him team up with Theory, because you remember Theory, when he came up to Raw back in the beginning of the COVID times, you know, they aligned Theory with Rollins. So it was pretty cool to see them both tagging. But Dolph Ziggler comes out dressed in almost a suit, sitting at ringside, not giving away why he's there, if he's rooting for anyone. We don't know. He's not playing his hand. So we get the main event. Very, very good Raw main event. One crazy fucking move where Lashley spears Rollins through the barricade, and that shit looked like it hurt, man. Crowd was chanting, holy shit. You look at Theory's face, Riddle's face, and they're in shock as well. You know, Lashley, you know, getting back in the ring and celebrating 2 minutes later was probably a bit much, but still, it was a fun match. You know, Dolph Ziggler still, you know, sitting at ringside. No interaction with anybody, by the way. So after Lashley spears Rollins, and they're taken out for a few moments, here is Theory and Riddle going at it, and Theory attempts a pin on Riddle, and he puts his feet on the middle ropes for leverage. And here comes Dolph Ziggler, knocks Theory's feet off the ropes. Theory turns around and looks absolutely shocked by it. And then you get Riddle hitting the RKO, pins Theory, and Theory doesn't know what the fuck just happened. And then, you know, before we know it, here comes Dolph Ziggler super kicking Theory. And Riddle is celebrating with Lashley. Rollins is selling it outside the ring. He is out for good. And Ziggler super kicks Theory. Yeah, Dolph Ziggler is now, seems to be a babyface. The question is, why did he do it? When I watched it, my only thinking is maybe it has to do with the briefcase. Maybe Dolph Ziggler in his head thinks that Theory is disrespecting the briefcase, which, yeah, I mean, between me and you, some other people disrespected the briefcase as well. I mean, my God, didn't Brock Lesnar turn it into a boombox? You know, of course, Ziggler wouldn't come out and dare do anything. But, well, we'll see. We'll see. Now, the question is, do they explain his actions on SmackDown Friday, or do we have to wait a whole week? And by the way, Logan Paul will be on Raw next week. Remember, there's only two more Raws before SummerSlam. SummerSlam is right around the corner. So Logan Paul appears next week. That's when we'll probably see the tag team match officially announced, him and AJ Styles versus Ciampa and Miz at SummerSlam. And then the following week is the final Raw leading into SummerSlam. So, you know, we'll see what they do. Now, main event matches tonight. You have Mustafa Ali over Tozawa and Tamina beating Jasmine Allure. I know some of you are familiar with Jasmine Allure. Pretty good indie talent. I think we've seen her in AEW a few times. This, I think, was her first WWE match. So right now for SummerSlam, we have Reigns versus Brock. Last man standing match for the WWE Undisputed Universal Championship. Pat McAfee versus Corbin. Lashley versus Theory for the United States Championship. Usos versus the Street Profits for the tag Universal Undisputed, not Universal, Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship special guest referee. Liv Morgan versus Ronda Rousey. We're probably going to see Becky Lynch versus Bianca, and we may see Rollins versus Riddle. Pretty solid call. And Logan Paul and AJ Styles versus Theory and Ciampa. It's a pretty fucking solid card, man. I think for some people, they may actually like that card more than any night of WrestleMania this year. That happened last year. Remember last year? A lot of people thought SummerSlam last year was better than Mania. You know, and they've already sold 30,000 tickets for SummerSlam. So this is going to be pretty hot event. So, let's talk a few moments about the tag team titles. I want to thank Ronnie for this very, very generous contribution to the cause. Sent, what do they call it, Benjamin? No, Benjamin's a 20s. I don't even know who's on a $100 bill. But thank you, Ronnie. Sent a 100 spot. Said, saw what you did earlier with that old man. You're a good dude, brother. Now onto my question. Who do I think will be the special guest referee for the Usos versus the Street Profits at SummerSlam? All right. I have seen every guess, every prediction, every idea that you could possibly think of. For those live right now in the chat, type, who is your first choice to be special guest referee? I've seen everybody from Vince McMahon to Booker T. And look, man, I don't know if you're all aware of this, but fucking Booker T. Booker T. This is not a photo from 15 years ago. This is a photo from this weekend. Booker T made his wrestling return to the ring. Hasn't been in the ring in over 2 years. He is wearing Harlem Heat garb from back in the WCW days. No, that is not rehemmed from a stylist in 2022. That's his old Harlem Heat attire. Booker T is a fucking legend. And I thought, hey, here is issue number one. Issue number one, in my opinion, whoever the special guest referee is should be a tag team specialist. Okay, so now you think Booker T, and I'm like, hey, I'm digging that, man. I'm digging it, sucker. Can you dig it, sucker? Booker T is a special guest referee. I like it. Here's my issue with it. The Usos versus the Street Profits. It's very, very fast-paced. And if you get, with all due respect, someone like Booker T or Hall of Famer, well, let me pull that back a little bit. You'll see where I'm going with it. You get someone who is a legend. I thought, hey, they're in Nashville, maybe Jeff Jarrett. But Jeff Jarrett's not really a tag team specialist. Yes, I know. I remember his days with Owen. Please, I'm not saying he's not. But you want to pick someone who do you immediately identify with a tag team. So now when you think of that, it kind of narrows it down quite a bit. So my logic is whoever the referee should be, it should be a tag team specialist. The problem is once you start thinking that idea, everybody, almost everybody that could possibly referee goes out the window. Another issue is this. You know, I've fallen and I can't get up as fast as I used to. You get a lot of these older wrestlers that could be a special guest referee. You do it for a novelty match. Maybe you do it with Corbin versus McAfee. You do it in a match where there's not many pin attempts. Or if there's pin attempts, they're pretty much out of just singular moves. When you have the Street Profits and the Usos, fast-paced, making magic like they do, and having all those false finishes like we saw in the last event, you need someone who is older that may not have the spring in their legs like they used to. It's going to take them a little extra time to hit the mat, make the count. So that's why that's a problem also. Whoever it is got to be somebody athletic to the point where they can get down and count quickly. And I don't mean quickly as fast like this. I mean get down and count, you know, get on the mat, start counting very, very, like, rapido. Get on the mat, start counting. You can't have someone that's like, oh, this leg first, then this leg first, and then let me bend down, and then let me start. No, you can't do that. Can't do that. So that's why, and I see people saying from Shawn Michaels to Titus O'Neil and others, Shawn Michaels is not a bad idea, but even Shawn Michaels, I don't know how fast he can get down to make the count. So, I actually thought for a moment, I know this is not my final answer, by the way, but I'm going to mention anyway. I thought Edge. I know he comes back, he's got a feud with Judgment Day, but he returns at SummerSlam. You know, he could come out. He's got a lot of history with tag team wrestling. The guy still could move. He's fast. He's in complete shape. And I could see Edge getting a crazy-ass pop from the crowd. The problem is, I think it overshadows Judgment Day. I don't think Edge should just come out, monster pop, soaking it in, wearing a referee shirt. I want to see Edge come out, crazy eyes, bloodshot eyes, looking for blood from Judgment Day. I don't want to see him come out as a referee. The first time, if SummerSlam was a month from now, okay, you come back sooner, you beat the fuck out of Judgment Day a little bit, then you become special guest referee. So I say no. I thought about Austin too, but no fucking way. It would be fun. Look, Rock would be fun too. Absolutely, The Rock would be fun. And The Rock probably could move better than anyone else, but I don't think they're going that route. You know who it might be? And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. You know who it might be? Sami Zayn. I think Sami Zayn is going to try to convince Adam Pearce that he could call it down the middle, or maybe Paul Heyman, you know, calls in a favor and Sami Zayn is the choice. That's the person that I thought about earlier. Because you look at the storyline, they have not they have not continued the storyline where Sami Zayn failed securing the briefcase. You would have thought the first SmackDown afterwards, Sami Zayn would have some splaining to do. They didn't go that way. So that storyline has got to come to a head. Sami Zayn not securing the briefcase fucks with Roman Reigns. Now Sami Zayn's being special guest referee. Do I think he counts for the Street Profits to win? Probably not. Sami Zayn may get his ass knocked out. Then we may have to see another referee run down to ringside, make the count. And then if the Usos lose the Undisputed Tag Team Championships, now you have a lot of reasons to beat the balls out of Sami Zayn. He failed at Money in the Bank. He failed at SummerSlam. He failed when he was supposed to remember the match that he had a while back? You know, that Roman Reigns had to defend the championship against Riddle. Remember, Sami Zayn took on Riddle. And he lost. So Roman had to take on Riddle. So now you got three major screw-ups from Sami Zayn. So that is the person that I thought about tonight when they announced special guest referee. In logic terms, you and I, we think tag team specialist, legend, Hall of Famer, somebody. Yeah, I saw people writing Jerry Lawler because they're in they're in Tennessee. He's from Memphis. But I don't think it should be anybody slow. I think Sami Zayn might be their choice. Do I think it's the best choice? No, of course not. But for storyline purposes and someone who could possibly do it, I'm going to go with Sami Zayn. Plus, what is he doing for SummerSlam? What is he doing? So, you know, let's see what happens. I think Friday we may get some answers. But Ronnie and everyone else, I'm going with Sami Zayn. Let me know what you think. If you feel like posting a comment later, post a comment in the comment section. Let me know who you think it'll be. Remember, you can write who you think it'll be. And who you want it to be, you know, two different answers. If you think about it, why would you choose Tyler Breeze, Psycho? I love Tyler Breeze. I love that I'm kicking his ass on pro wrestling TV. He's got a podcast on. Oh, a lot of you don't know this. Some of you only tune in for Monday nights. Guess what, everybody? We are on pro wrestling TV for 1 month. And on the 1 month anniversary, I got an email from the president of this entire place, somebody who is very, very powerful, very, very cool guy as well. Especially cool when he said, DT, I just wanted to let you know of every show that is on Pro Wrestling TV, every show where you can access video on demand, he says, you are number one. Bigger than Control the Narrative, bigger than AAA Lucha Libre, bigger than Tyler Breeze, the Iconics, card subject to change, Warriors of Wrestling, every show, number one. And you know why that is? No bullshit, all of you. I appreciate that more than you can imagine. Thank you. Can't make that up. When people like to make fun of my stats on YouTube, oh, this guy gets 30,000 views, you get 3. Well, that's because there's a lot of people tuning in other places as well. Audio, it's still 85% of my whole audience. Most of you out there don't want to look at my ugly face for 90 minutes or an hour, you know, now. You know, by the way, we are going 90 minutes, so we still got 30 minutes, everybody. But not everybody wants to look at my face. Not everybody could use that kind of data. Some of you are working, jogging, you know, doing stuff, you know, and you just want to listen. You don't have to look at a thing all that time. Roger Rubio, shout out to you, my friend. Happy 18-month anniversary. He said, it's been a blast. Now, thank you. Some ratings news, some previews. Then we'll talk about Johnny Ace getting his hands caught in the cookie jar. But you see the IWC trying to get John Laurinaitis fired because they hate that motherfucker. They hate him with a passion. We got to talk about John Laurinaitis and what has been uncovered. Then we got to be a little bit real for a minute, and I want to bring up what Jericho had to say, because, again, of all the people who have commented about the Vince situation, I think his was the best answer yet. Unbiased, level-headed. We'll talk about it in a little bit. But first, before we do anything else, I'm going to make this super, super quick. Tonight, we're going to give away, someone is going to win this wall taker and the Undertaker signed photo. By the way, tomorrow's NXT watch party. You know, tonight on Raw, Corey Graves, talking about Carmella, he actually said she is a badass with a nice ass. He actually said that on Raw tonight. Well, guess what? I think Carmella has a little bit of competition, because tomorrow for the NXT watch party, because I know a lot of you out there are fans of Shotzi Blackheart. Yes, her Money in the Bank performance was not very good, but hey, it happens to everybody. Everybody has a bad night. So we've been very, very sympathetic for Shotzi. And anybody that tunes in every week knows that the family here, for the most part, are fans of Shotzi. So we're going to be giving away tomorrow this autograph photo. Now, why would I bring up Carmella and Corey Graves' comment that she is a badass with a nice ass? Well, you know what? I think Shotzi might give Carmella a little bit of competition. Yes, that is an autograph photo, Shotzi Blackheart. Nice bikini facing the opposite direction. She's showing us her long green hair. And I know a lot of people don't even realize the lagoon. What is that, the creature from the Black Lagoon? I don't know what that mask is, but I can't help but to admire, you know, this photo. So, yeah, somebody is going to get both of those tomorrow. Awesome. Awesome. That's tomorrow. Anyway, all right, let's throw this wheel up there. Now, I've made the fonts a little bit bigger and a little bit darker, so it'd be easier. So let's spin this motherfucker. Let's see who gets the Undertaker shit. All right. This is everybody who was at the watch party and was socializing Friday. Congrats, too. Okay. Now, I could zoom in on this, and I could see very quickly that Jet Cat actually is the winner. I know for people that may be looking at their phones, they might think, oh, it's kind of on the line. No, it's actually a drop to the left. If you look at it closely, I'm zooming in a little bit further, you could see that it is on Jet Cat. So congratulations to Jet Cat. Yeah, you could see it. So good for you, my friend. You are the winner. Congrats. All right. Let's talk about, well, actually, you know what? Two other things. Impact's rating, 119, up from 100,000, still sucks. With everybody that they brought in that company for the last 8 months, they should not only be doing $110. They go up 10, they go down 10. They go up 15, they go down 15. You know, it's just, they can't increase that audience, which is ridiculous. By the way, you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling, their numbers are still awful. No bounce from the AEW exposure. You don't have any AEW fans off of Forbidden Door that are now tuning in to New Japan on Access. Ridiculously horrible numbers. And we talked about it yesterday, too. With all due respect, I ain't spending $40 for a Ring of Honor pay-per-view. That promotion is not even back. This is a power grab. This is to make money, obviously. And I don't blame Tony Khan. I don't blame him at all. But if you look at the wrestlers on that card, they would be wrestling on Rampage, Elevation, or Dark for the most part. $40 for a promotion that's not even touring yet, that's not even like weekly. They're just taking up too much airtime on AEW programming. Rampage only did 428. I predicted 442, and people were like, DT, that's an awfully low number. 428. Keep pushing that Ring of Honor stuff. You know, just because someone else owns, just because someone you like now owns it, you know, there's a reason why Ring of Honor drew shit ratings when they used to be on before Impact, when they were on TV week after week, and they were doing shows month after month, and the ratings were still terrible. Just because Tony Khan watches it, you know, people realize, you know, Tony Khan has no idea I'm watching at home or if I'm not. So what do you think? They're going to get a Christmas card in the mail? Hey, man. Hey, brother. I know you've been watching Rampage every week, and I know you've been watching all our Ring of Honor stuff, and brother, thank you very much for that. No, they tweet about it. Epic, amazing, unfucking believable. John DeGresham versus Lee Moriarty. Take my money, Tony. Seriously. Seriously? Think you say that more with a question mark. No disrespect against those guys. I'm paying $40 for that? No way. SmackDown did $2,129,000. SmackDown staying pretty solid with their number. Pretty solid. NXT tomorrow, we got Roxanne Perez taking on Mandy Rose for the NXT Women's Championship. Apollo Crews versus Giovanni Vinci. This is our Bottom Wish. I know some people are like, oh, be nicer to Fabian Aichner. I like Fabian Aichner. I don't like Giovanni Vinci. Von Wagner versus Solo Sikoa. Fighter Fest on Wednesday, we have Anna Jay versus Serena Deeb. Luchasaurus versus somebody. Swerve in Our Glory versus the Young Bucks versus Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs for the tag titles. You got Jake Hager versus Claudio Castagnoli, We the People. Wardlow versus Orange Cassidy for the TNT Championship. And John Moxley versus Konosuke Takeshita. Championship contenders match. If he wins against Moxley, he gets a future title shot. That is for Wednesday. Other previews we could get into Wednesday night. So before we finish up the show with some questions, let's talk a little bit briefly about John Laurinaitis. I got a little bit of news for you regarding Tammy Sitch, you know, and a little funny story that happened earlier today. If anybody goes back to my hotline days and remember Captain Lenny, anybody that ever tuned into those early Thursday shows when we first went to video and I was playing you all that Captain Lenny audio, I got a story for you tonight. You get a kick out of it. All right. Let's talk about one half of the booty men. One half of the booty men, John Laurinaitis. Okay. Oh, yeah, we got to talk about what Jericho said. Look, I try to tell it like it is here. You know, I actually had someone really dogging me the other day saying, you know, what the fuck are you defending Vince McMahon for? I know I said that he was a pig at least six times on Saturday's show. I told the guy, I said, send me the timestamp where I defended him. Why? Because I just don't drill him into the ground. Well, John Laurinaitis, a lot of people hate. They probably hate him almost as much as Vince, not as much as Bruce Pritchard, not as much as Kevin Dunn, but they hate John Laurinaitis. They think he is a scumbag. They think all the models he used to hire, they think the way he treats people when he fires them, very, very cold. You know, unfortunately, sometimes you need an asshole like that to do your dirty work. Hey, John, we got to get rid of so-and-so. You know, someone else might be like, oh, yeah, really? You know, John, I'll call him. You know, so John Laurinaitis, a lot of people hate. You don't see too many people giving praise to people power. So here's the deal, and I'm going to tell it to you straight up. And when I explain it, you'll understand why this is going to be kind of difficult to really nail John Laurinaitis on this one. You know, what a lot of people need to realize, and I think this is something that people don't seem to understand, this investigation has been going on since April. It didn't start a month ago. It was revealed a month ago, but this investigation started in April. So this investigation has been going on for 3 months already. And one of the things that these outside agencies were looking at are the bank accounts, their personal bank accounts. And we joked about it yesterday, but it's true. I couldn't believe how many emails I got today about this. How does Vince McMahon not have a Swiss bank account with some corporation that has nothing to do with WWE or under another name? Maybe he's got a dog, a long-lost cousin. You know, how do you not have a Swiss bank account with some extra money that you made on the side that has nothing to do with World Wrestling Entertainment? You're allowed to have a outside bank account, but no, everything is being investigated. Linda McMahon knew about all these payouts. She had access to the bank accounts. You see $1 million being paid to a female, you know what the deal is. You know, and trust me, a lot of people within WWE also knew this. And you go back to those days, you know, we remember all of Vince's antics. You know, we talked about Tanzibar that a lot of people still don't even know about. But here's the thing with John Laurinaitis that people really need to realize. Put your bias against him aside for a minute. What has been uncovered with the banking? And you got to understand something, too. You know, what the bank account you have in 2022 might not be the bank account that you had 5 years ago. Might not even be the bank that you have now either. So you don't just keep 10, 20 years of banking, you know, in your office desk, your home office. So they have to contact banks. There's got to be third-party authorization letters. There's a lot of, you know, legalese involved. So some of this does take time, but what's been uncovered is that in 2012, this is 10 years ago, everyone, in 2012, John Laurinaitis made a payout and an NDA to someone who accused him of misconduct. That was 10 years ago. John Laurinaitis stepped down as the head of talent relations in 2012. So John Laurinaitis, when he was let go, that board of directors at the time knew why he was let go. People in WWE management knew why John Laurinaitis was let go in 2012. John Laurinaitis was rehired in 2021. He, as far as I know, he has not done anything as far as payouts, accusing anything. He's not a board member. He is an employee. And if he had sex with this woman, the paralegal, you know, is that conduct to be grounds for a dismissal? He was the head of talent relations, but he's not a board member. I don't know what kind of stock he may even own in that company. But the NDA that was uncovered is from 10 years ago. And John Laurinaitis was let go 10 years ago. He was brought back in 2021. The board of directors in 2021 is similar to the board of directors that you have in 2022. Did any of them question why John Laurinaitis was brought back in 2021? Did they question what happened in 2012? These are billionaires we're talking about. They're not stupid. You know, I could understand maybe somebody didn't realize, ooh, Gunther Starke. I could understand maybe creative didn't do their diligence to look up the name Gunther Starke and find out, you know, there was some Nazi with that name. But the board of directors, they know what the fuck they're doing. So when you read reports now, John Laurinaitis is all but done in WWE. Those are people that don't like John Laurinaitis. And John Laurinaitis could very well be done. I'm not saying that he's not. But think about this for a minute. If the only thing they uncover is a payout in 2012 and he was let go at that time and then came back 9 years later, what has he done in the last year and a half? He had sex, consensual sex with a woman.
But she was passed like a toy.
But it was consensual. Even if she wanted to bang six people, even if you want to have sex with nine people, you know, Well, who are we to judge that, you know, you could only have sex with people within 10 years of your age, or you can't have sex with more than two people? And if you do that, then you're perceived as, what does that even mean? So when people out there like, John Laurinaitis is pretty much done with WWE, based on what? These are people that want him out. So they will ride this train to get him out. But when you actually think about this, what has transpired to warrant John? And me, I don't give a shit about the guy. I don't care if he's there. I told you all from day one, to me, that guy is a piece of shit for cheating on his wife while she was battling brain cancer. That's still not grounds for dismissal. That's grounds for divorce, in my opinion, but it's not grounds for dismissal. So with this that's come out with John Laurinaitis, you really look at this unbiased, they got to find more to force this guy out. You know, maybe he's just like, look, I'm done. I'm done. Okay. But the people online, oh, he's all but gone. Those are people that want him out. But when you actually ask them, what is that based on? What? Okay. Another thing, Chris Jericho. Of all the people that have commented about this, I loved his answer more than anybody else. And I'll tell you why. Because if you did not, and this is a cheap plug, if you did not tune in to the Don Tony Show on Saturday, you really need to do so.
What's today?
The 12th? No. It was the 11th when we started. We're already past midnight. So the 9th, July 9th. We talked about the 10-year period back then when WWE was partying like crazy, doing lots of steroids, doing lots of extracurricular activities. But that was also reflecting Hollywood as well. You look at the 90s, the late 90s into the 2000s, and you look at the Viper Club in Hollywood, and you unfortunately had the death of Kurt Cobain and others, and people were just abusing and abusing and abusing. WWE from 1997 to like 2007, or you go 98 to 08, WWE was running roughshod. We talked about it on Saturday from, you know, Amy Weber having people shit in a bag. And you think about Candice Michelle and you think about the other models that were hired that had no wrestling background. Some, you know, really bit the bug with wrestling and wanted to do well. I'm not dissing them. But you think about the storylines. You think about all the sexual innuendos. Even when DX returned and Shawn Michaels was now born again, but they're still simulating that Candice Michelle was giving somebody a blowjob underneath the table. And now you look at the time frame and you think, was that kind of a shot to Vince McMahon? So that climate was across the board. Doesn't make it better. But when you saw or you heard today that some of these reporters in the Wall Street Journal are a little surprised that the latest story has not really caught on, it's because everybody already knew Vince McMahon was a fucking chauvinistic pig. Everybody knew, for the most part, that should have known that Vince McMahon and Linda McMahon don't even sleep in the same bed anymore. A lot of people like us reported back in 2006 that Linda McMahon and Vince McMahon were likely going to file divorce at that time. Then it became a marriage of convenience. Just because you were not around at that time doesn't make it breaking news. It just means you may have known what CM Punk did in Ring of Honor 15 years ago, and you thought you were bragging like, oh, I knew that song. You should have known too. Well, guess what? This is our, for us old people out there, this is our CM Punk Ring of Honor Easter egg shit. It's not surprising for a majority of people out there. And that's why you don't see much of a buzz about it. So this is what Chris Jericho had to say. Quote, when you look at it, it's really not illegal. He had an affair, paid the lady off not to say anything, and moved on. It's almost like, okay, and it was a mutual acknowledgement of the affair. He paid the lady to say nothing, and she took the money. I really know Vince well, and it sucks that happened. It sucks that he did it. But is there anything really going to happen from it? I don't think so. Is it morally right? Absolutely not. Is it illegal? No. Is it something that is going to get him into real trouble? I don't think so. And props to, I think, Exposed Turnbuckle, who wrote that transcript for Jericho. Got to give them props. That's why if you look at the younger journalists out there and the ones that really hate WWE, all they're focused on is that paralegal's $100,000 salary. Because that's the only thing that they think could possibly could get Vince out of this company. Somebody asked me this yesterday on the sit down, and I'll say it again here now. I don't believe the board of directors are going to vote Vince McMahon off of that company. I don't think the board of directors are going to do that. If Vince McMahon is going to step down permanently, I think those board of directors are going to say, Vince, save yourself the embarrassment of the board of directors voting you off. Step down yourself. You're 76 years old. You're going to be 80 soon. You know, just you have your dignity. You step down for the love of WWE to see it grow and prosper. You don't want to be, you know, an interference. And you go out in the sunset. And everybody online that is begging, hoping that they can close the Vince McMahon chapter by saying that WWE kicked his ass out like Donald Trump. And look, I didn't vote for Donald Trump 2 years ago. Make that clear. But, you know, when they impeached him, that's something that people that despise him and say, we fucking impeached that motherfucker. They don't want Vince to mutually step down. They don't want him to save his dignity. They want him to be fucking fired, embarrassed, lambasted, and they want to be able to write years from now that in the end, his own company kicked his ass out. So if Vince is going to step down permanently, he's going to do it. He's not going to be voted off. So that's where I think this is going. But I think what Jericho said, you know, when Jericho says, yeah, and, you know, I don't condone his behavior. Shit, I will admit this. When I'm 76 years old, if I got somebody in their 40s that says, hey, baby, it ain't against the law and I ain't married, you know, I expect to be married. But if I'm a single guy and a younger female, attractive female is attracted to me, yeah, you know, somebody may say, she's using you. But when you're 76 years old, 74 years old, and somebody says to you, hey, Vince, I think she's using you for your money. I don't care. Shut up. You know, who the fuck would spend $12 million on pussy? Four girls. Who would do that? I wouldn't do that. I don't care how much money I would have. I wouldn't do that. I'd rather go on Pornhub for 10 minutes. And then once the moment has passed, I still got my $12 million, bitch. All right. Let's start bringing this home. Tammy Sitch, keep it short and sweet. She pled not guilty to the charges. I know what you're saying. I agree. How do you plead not guilty when your blood alcohol content is 3+ times the legal limit? It's the same situation as Jeff Hardy. She's trying to cut a deal. If she pleads guilty, deal over. If the prosecutors had offered a deal already, plead guilty and we'll, you know, to this and we'll ask the court. No, the family of the person who died does not want, as far as I know, any negotiation. But someone who is fighting for their life, I mean, look, she's got to pay the piper for what she did. She's got to take responsibility. But if it was you in jail right now, let's take a step back, and this is not defending her, but if you were in jail right now and you drank and drive and killed someone, are you really going to sit in jail and say, you know what, put me in jail for 20 years, I deserve it, I keep me in jail for the rest of my life? No, you will repent and feel awful about it, but you're also going to try, you know, to save yourself as well. So she's trying to get a deal. That's why she pled not guilty. Yes, it wastes government's money, taxpayer money, and it's just going to drag this on much longer. But that's why Psycho 187 said he would. I give you props, man. I give you props. Props to you. But that's why she pled not guilty. Also, as we already told you, just because PW Spyware could read a court site doesn't mean revealing breaking news. We told you here. Tammy Sitch got rid of that lawyer because that lawyer is crazy-ass expensive. The amount of money that that lawyer that she has wants, that's a former judge, somebody who ran for office. We already talked about him quite a bit. She couldn't afford it. And I know what you're going to say with the OnlyFans revenue, but I actually got some answers about that as well. She actually has to prove to the court that she don't have the funds to be able to retain a regular lawyer for that kind of money. And you can't hide it under the table. You can't suddenly make all these bank transactions and hide it under the table. The facts are this, and you heard it here first, and I'm only telling you so you're aware of the situation. I'm not saying good, bad, you know, it's none of my business, but here's the facts. Her boyfriend has power of attorney for everything. Her boyfriend owns the website that if it hasn't been launched yet, it will be launched, where all of her adult videos, you could subscribe, get money, whatever it is. He is the one that's going to be banking on this, and he's the one that's going to be, you know, building the money and the revenue. Again, I'm not saying good, but I'm just telling you the facts that I know. Another thing is this. What a lot of people don't know what has happened on OnlyFans is people on OnlyFans know she's in jail. When footage content showed up and it seemed like she was telling everyone, hey, go to my OnlyFans, 50% off. People actually like were reporting that she's doing this from jail. The fact is that the boyfriend was running the OnlyFans, and here's what happens, just so you know. A lot of people who bought the subscription for OnlyFans, they all demanded refunds because she's actually not there. See, when you have an OnlyFans page, you're not required to like film current stuff. You could have video of yourself from 10 years ago. If nobody's ever seen it and you're like, hey, I got a cucumber up my ass, you know, give me $5. Doesn't matter if it was 5 minutes ago or 5 years ago. That's OnlyFans is not based on today. So it's not deception. But because there's a lot of people that don't like Tammy, but may be attracted for Tammy, hey, if that floats your boat, that's fine. Doesn't float my boat, whatever. But here's the thing. You had a lot of people who were subscribing, getting the content, and then requesting refunds from OnlyFans because she is no longer on the page. So tens of thousands of dollars gone, refunded. So a whole bunch of money that was generated, gone. And look, if you feel like good for that, that's fine with me. But that's the facts. So the lawyer is gone, replaced with a public lawyer because she can't afford that kind of expense. The boyfriend will be, if not already, going to be running a website, charging, you know, if you want to see content of hers, he owns it all. And, you know, whatever happens from this point happens. I'm just giving you updates. I'm doing nothing else but giving you updates. I got to say it like 50 times because you get these people out there that are like, oh, he's defending Tammy. Huh? Because you get information defending? So, all right. So that is all your news. So if anybody has any quick questions related to what we talked about tonight, if you'd like for me to answer. Now, if you have a question and you want it answered in a little more detail, Wednesday afternoon, I'm going to be recording the next mailbag. So you can either go in the community section right here on YouTube, and there's a thread up there right now. There's two separate threads, one for channel members, one for everyone else. I hate saying it like that, but that's what it is. You could post a question there, put it by Wednesday afternoon, and I will get into it in detail. And or you could email me, dontony@dontony.com. That's been pretty much the preferred method by a lot of you. And I have some awesome questions already lined up for Wednesday afternoon. So if you want me to answer something a little more detailed, you know, you can either post it in the community section or email me by Wednesday afternoon, because Wednesday afternoon I'm going to be recording the mailbag. It will stream on Thursday. And I might premiere it, and if I premiere it, I'll hang out in the chat room and chat with everybody while it's airing. So that'll be this Thursday, the mailbag. Charlie, I have your questions lined up for Thursday. Let's see. Any quick questions before we get out of here? Because we're going to keep this at 90 minutes. You know, 2-3 extra minutes because of intros. But you know the deal. We're going to be going live soon on Pro Wrestling TV. I'm going to be on live TV. I'm going to be available in 155 million homes. Not joking. That's what I was told. 155 million homes I will be available. TV. All right. How do I make the Don Tony sandwich? You're giving me agita. I don't even know what the Don Tony sandwich is. Oh, you want to see a quick story? Well, actually, okay. Gabriella Valentine. Do I think Jordan Grace said what she said about Chris Benoit because she enjoyed watching him growing up or not really? I can't tell what her previous fandomhood was of Chris Benoit. I know she was very, very angry about what he did, and is that is not acceptable. In the process, she really hurt a lot of family members. And, you know, as I said very respectfully over the weekend, you know, there's a lot of people who were very close with Chris Benoit that will never understand why it happened, and they want closure and they want the answer. Unfortunately, only God, if you believe in a God, only God knows that answer, and Chris Benoit. There's no way. You could blame it on CTE. You could blame it on a divorce in prepared. You could blame it on whatever you want to blame it. You'll never know at the end of the day. Oh, but it was CTE. Well, there's a ton of people with CTE that never killed anybody. You know, so she unfortunately went over the top, but she made right by what she said today. I'm going to get into it on Wednesday for sure. But I don't know what her how much she enjoyed Chris Benoit growing up. No update on Jeff Hardy's rental car. I'm actually going to send an email to the state tomorrow because I requested some files and I have not heard back. But, you know, remember, again, this is Florida. You know, even though there's shit going down in North Carolina, it still comes back to Florida. So that's why, you know, Florida is not the easiest, you know, to get into. But believe me, you know, let me also say this. I guarantee you there's some people out there trying to get the info also. And I think based on what the answer is if they decide they're going to reveal it. So believe me, a lot of those websites that are, you know, they got to be first. I guarantee you they're looking for this info also. But if it doesn't reveal anything controversial, then they'll say, hey, we broke it here first. But if it is something controversial, they'll just let someone else report it. Chance of Liv losing a title at SummerSlam, Rob? I don't think so. I think there'd be so many fans irate, pissed off. All of this fairy tale win, all the tears. You would just piss off way too many fans. What? Because Charlotte comes back or Ronda turns heel? I think Liv may catch Ronda. You know, like maybe like Ronda goes for a pin and Liv just reverses it a little bit and steals the pin. Not cheating, but just squeaks one out. And not that Liv won, but Ronda lost, if you know what I mean. And if they could have Ronda turn heel, that may be what makes Ronda snap. But I don't think Liv is going to win. I think Ronda's going to lose, if you know what I mean. But no, I don't think she's losing the title that quick. Definitely not. Jeff is asking me how much for an autograph. Email me, and I'll take care of it. Does Charlotte find a way in a SmackDown Women's title match at SummerSlam? Roderick is asking that. You know what? I don't think it's needed. I don't think it's needed. If Charlotte were to come back, it's got to be Friday. It's got to be Friday. But even that, I think fans would get so fucking pissed off. But if Liv were to sneak out a win, yeah, no harm, no foul. But I don't think, I think you want to keep all the focus on Ronda versus Liv. If I was WWE, have Charlotte show up after the match is over. Does Bayley return as a babyface or a heel? If Sasha and Naomi aren't going to be coming back, I think you need Bayley as a babyface. If Ronda turns heel especially, Bayley needs to be a babyface. You know, look, you got Bianca. Becky, a lot of people think, will ultimately turn babyface. So I say Bayley, I'd rather see her as a babyface, or she could be a tweener. Have that attitude, but she gets in the face of the heels, too. Let her get angry at everybody. All right. Charlie, Benoit's dad says for different reasons. Good for him. You know, I mean, I don't blame him. He's trying to understand why his son did what he did. And he doesn't want to think for the rest of his life that his son did it because, you know, remember, there was anger that night. There was, you know, uncontrollable anger. You know, there's no, you'll never have that answer. I don't blame his father. Don't blame his father. But he'll never have that answer. Period. All right. Let me show you a funny story. I'll show you the video on Saturday. Earlier today, I was driving home from my office. And as I'm driving home, and you'll see the video, you know, I always like to show you proof because people, you know, they write all these stories about themselves. I'm driving home and I see this old man in his 90s standing in the middle of the street going like this. Stop. So I stopped. I rolled my window down and he says to me, can I ask you for a favor? I said, sure. He looked like Captain Lenny. He sounded like Captain Lenny. I was kind of bugging out when I saw it. He's like, can you drive me home? And I said, where's home? And he told me the intersection. I'm like, yeah, get in the car. So it took him like 2 minutes to get in my car. The guy, what happened was he had a death in the family. And he walked to someone's house. And the guy's in his 90s and it's 90 degrees out. And he started walking home. He don't have a cell phone. There's no pay phones. And his legs just gave out on him. He wasn't drunk, no drugs. He just, in his 90s, he couldn't make it home. And, you know, like Naya said earlier, and I felt bad because there were cars that were in front of me. You know, I can only imagine how many cars that kept going. So he got in my car. And my dash cam has two cameras. There's a camera facing the street, and there's a camera facing us. And I have it that way in case I ever get hit from behind, I got footage. So I drove the guy home. And the thing that's hilarious is I hit a bump, speed bump. And you got to see the footage where we're like, this guy who's in my car, not even a minute, I hit the speed bump. And I could only imagine, I thought he was going to urinate all over my seat. But this is a screenshot of earlier today. And I don't know him. I never saw him before. I thought it was hilarious. Because you look at this, this looks like a screenshot from some YouTube channel. This looks like a reality show. And I drove him home. He looks just like Captain Lenny. He's the same size of Captain Lenny. He sounds like Captain Lenny. And, you know, like I wrote early, he looks like Vern Gagne, but honestly, he looks like Vern Gagne when he was 90 and had dementia. But, yeah, so I took the guy home. That was it. So you'll see the video behind this. You'll see him go like this. You'll see him get it's. It was a good story, you know. And you know, after I dropped him off, I narrated a little bit on my way home. And what I said is, you know, anyone out there thought like I was going to get mugged or something like that? No, because you could tell the guy was legit frail. But what I also said was, if that 94-year-old man was a 22-year-old piece of ass wearing like short shorts, you know, maybe a nice tight outfit. Hey, could you drive me home? I'd be like, take the fucking bus because I would think I'm being set up. You know, if it was a young person, I probably would have just kept driving. No, I'm not stopping for nobody. I don't trust anybody in this neighborhood. It was a 94-year-old man. So, but it's hilarious because you got to see the speed bump. I fucking hit the speed bump. I showed it to my fiance and she couldn't stop laughing. I felt bad for the guy. I thought he was going to pee all over my car because that's how bad it was. So, yeah. So, yeah, I would have to pay him for NDA. Don't say nothing. But, yeah, you know what's funny about that besides the fact that he looks and sounds like Captain Lenny? The fact that we were just saying yesterday that, you know, with Vince, like, imagine if I went with an 80-year-old Linda McMahon or 75-year-old Linda McMahon. I'm in my 40s. You think I want 10 years later the people to find out, like, oh, my God, you were in your 40s. You slept with 75-year-old Linda McMahon? Yeah, I don't know if I would want to be on the recipient of that. And then today I pick up a 94-year-old. Yeah, Jeff, you'll see the video. I have my dash cam on. Look. I want to make two things clear about this. First of all, somebody tried to catch me earlier. Hey, DT, that video is not new. That's from March 11, 2019 at 4:56 a.m., doing no miles an hour. I never programmed my dash cam with the date and the time. First of all, I don't think we would be wearing short sleeve shirts in March. I'm driving down the road. How could I be going 0 miles an hour? Because I never set up the GPS, and I don't think it would be bright and sunny at 4:56 in the morning. It's pitch black in New York in March at 4 o'clock in the morning. So somebody's like, oh, yeah, fuck you. And second of all, I'm not showing anybody the video to make myself seem like a good person. It's not the first time that I've helped someone that I didn't know. But I thought this was hilarious because he looks and sounds just like Captain Lenny. It freaked me out. I honestly, when I got in the car, I thought he was going to say, make sure you check out my Chokeslam Wrestling Hotline later. Yeah, it was Ride Along with Captain Lenny and Don Tony. Look at my face. We were just like gangsters. We look like gangsters. It looks like a reality show. Gangsters. All right. Let's get out of here. I will be back here Wednesday night, right after AEW. We got Fyter Fest. So, you know, decent card. I don't think it's going to be bad. Tomorrow, if you're interested, we have the watch party for NXT. Fun 2 hours. You don't have to stay for the whole 2 hours. Stop by for a few minutes. Afterwards, I will be on Patreon doing the live show. And then Wednesday afternoon, I know we're doing a Wednesday night Dynamite after AEW, but Wednesday afternoon I'm recording the Q&A so it could stream on Thursday. So if you're going to send me questions, get them in by Wednesday afternoon so we can record it. And then we'll do another mailbag in about 2 weeks. So, all right, everyone, I'm out of here. Thank you as always for the support. If you enjoyed tonight's show, hit that thumbs up on the way out. If you know anyone out there that won't get mad at you, you know, for suggesting it, tell them about the channel. Maybe they like the content. Support Pro Wrestling TV. Support Blue Wire. You can find all my content there. You support this channel, obviously, because you're tuning in. If you want to check out our Patreon, it's patreon.com/DonTony. You got some exclusive content there. Kev Castle is still there. He does his thing as well. And then, you know, we got SummerSlam in 2 weeks. So, be well, everybody. Shit, I know I went 10 minutes over today. But, you know, I don't have to be that strict. But I have to start getting used to it. Because when we go live and it's linear TV, you know, if they say, all right, your time slot live is 11 to 12:30. At 12:30, even if I'm in the middle of a sentence, there's no overrun. Someone else is going to be live waiting to do their show. So, thanks, everybody. Have a great night. All the best, and catch you all soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now? Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.